This is the prude here to tell you that anything said about teaching in this podcast is pure satire and is not based on any true person or events.
Nope. A rude, a prude, and an unsolved mystery is for people 18 years and older. Viewer discretion is advised.
Actually, yes. Good. We are recording on two mics.
Away from each other.
I did it. We have moved like 6 inches farther.
It feels like 600 feet.
This vast distance.
Yes.
Between us. How are we ever going to get back to where we were?
Next, she's going to want her own room. It's just better for the podcast. It's a better sound.
It is a better sound, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate you.
It'll be good. It'll be fine. Whatever. This will be good. It's a good step for us.
I don't see that as a good step. Whatever. I'll get over it eventually.
I'm going to come in next week and my mic is going to be mysteriously missing.
I don't know what happened. A robber came in and took only my mic.
Just the mic.
It's the oddest thing. Crazy. The cameras were turned off too, by the way.
Guess we'll just have to use mine. Scoot real close.
And I put deodorant on today and everything.
You did?
That's
so nice of you. Yeah.
So how do you feel about our new move? We're moving on up, guys. We're moving on up.
Moving on up.
I feel like this is a good thing because, like, the sex workers, I think the top floor was, like, the good floor. You know what I mean? Like, they worked their way up to the top floor.
Oh, like, and they started on the bottom floor. Mm-hmm. It was, like, just, like, whoever's coming in. Mm-hmm. And the top floor was, like, yeah.
The top floor guests. Were, like, people who were, like, no. We don't want these sex workers. We want the ones on the top. That'd be us. That'd be us. Yeah. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
I felt so special.
We're moving to the second story. Mm-hmm. Real nice.
And we can work our way to the balcony and catcall when we feel like it.
Yeah, you imagine we'll be out there for like 3 seconds and you'll be like, I don't like it, let's go back.
Oh, are we going to talk about our dear Patricia leaving?
Oh, yeah. Patrick Hines is leaving. Obsessed with Disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was very devastated.
I like how they tried to play it off as just like, woo, we're so excited. It's a good move for everyone.
It's like when parents divorce and you're trying to make it like, we know it's not like a bad thing, like they're divorcing, like they don't like each other. We know it's because, like, you know, it's better for him.
Mm-hmm,
but awesome. As fans, huge fans, we're like, oh, okay.
We love Patricia.
I know.
And her gay screaming.
Oh,
and
that's
the best. And her overall just how rude she is to Ellen.
I love it. Yeah.
Who's going to talk about the Republicans in the back of Jeeps now?
I think Ellen was super excited about that part only.
She's like, I'll never have to hear about that again. Thank God.
I didn't see the new guy. I don't know. I am never
She's
liking new
people.
She's
not good with change.
I'm never, no, at
She's
all.
Not.
Every time I get a new partner at work, I hate them at first until like I figure out who they are. And I'm like, oh, you like Trump? No. I hate you. Mm-mm. No coming back from that.
No. As soon as you know that, there's just like, this is it. We're done. You can't come back from that. But, I mean, did you watch the Instagram Live?
I watched a little bit while I was getting ready to run.
Yeah.
And then Elise was like, oh, it's people? And I'm like, nobody can see you. It's like a bunch of people in
hi?
Here. Go ahead. I was like, go ahead and say hi. It was like, we were like one out of like, I don't know how many were on there. Like more than 400, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Easy. But it was very sad.
Yeah.
That's the first one we were listening to. Well, no. Jillian and Patricia was the first one we listened mm-hmm. to. And then we made our way to Disappear.
Okay, we made our way one. She was like, oh, TCO, TCO, TCO. And then I loved them both. But I was listening to Obsessed with Disappeared. And I was like, you've got to listen to this one. And
nope.
Her being like, I don't like change. I don't know if I'll like Ellen. I don't know, just be so different. And I kept sending her like snippets of like, listen, they're fucking hilarious. And she's like, okay.
And yeah. Then I fell in love.
Yeah.
Like forever. I love it.
It's good. It'll be okay.
I hope so. I feel like you don't really believe that, but okay.
Well, I am excited for Patrick to finish his book, because then I will buy his book, and it will be the next book that sits on my nightstand that I don't read.
Yeah, me too!
But I bought it, and I, like, helped you out financially, I guess.
Yeah.
But I won't absorb that ever. No.
What is it about? Do we know?
No, he hasn't said yet.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I was really like, what is it? What is it? What is it?
Hopefully it has his face on it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, it's good for change. No, it's not. I'm just lying. I look forward to this new. No, I don't. We'll see what happens. Like everything else, it changes and then I get over it eventually.
Yeah. Life is a journey.
Oh, you sound like a damn fortune cookie. God, no!
Welcome to A Rude, A Prude, and an Unsolved Mystery with the Rude,
Brown,
and the Prude, Easter, and Episode 4, Part 1 of Unsolved Mysteries. What? Yeah!
No, what are you doing, finger guns? I forgot we live in Texas. No, you're doing the...
I was like trying to keep myself on rhythm.
You're doing fucking finger guns.
The Prude, Unsolved Mystery.
I can't. I cannot. We don't. Mm-mm. Am I doing the summary?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
But can you act like this is a real thing? And don't get all high and mighty about the supernatural aspect of this first story.
And on the Queen Mary, dozens of eyewitnesses claim they have seen or heard ghosts. Last month, parapsychologists tape-recorded phantom sounds of what some believe is a shipwreck that took place 40 years earlier.
The first story...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. ...is about the Queen Mary, which is permanently lodged, permanently moored in Long Beach, California. When it did, when you call it sailing? It's not sailing. When it did, what do you call it? Like, go out into sea? What do you call that? I'm like lost.
It is sailing.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, when it
sailed the seas.
It had a lot. They talk about all the different, kinds of sailing it had. Like, it was for passengers at one point. Then it was, they used it during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they just like, I think it went back to passengers again. And mm-hmm. then it was just like moored. And yes. then after that, people started having, because it turned into a hotel.
Hotel Holiday Inn.
Anyways, uh-huh. Some of the workers started experiencing some just strange phenomenons. Just very, I don't know what I'm, like ghosts?
Yeah.
Person? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say, like what else was it? It was like, just ghosts, like, and then just hearing things.
Seeing things,
hearing things. And then they actually got people in and to listen to the...
Like boat. Experts.
Like experts. Psychics. Yeah, not just like random people like me or...
Hey, you off the street.
Hey, you.
Want to see Come some on. Ghosts?
Get in here. No, these people were experts in their field.
Stop.
I did the bunny ears. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and so, yeah, that was what this episode's about. It started off, and I put, our boy Rob is visiting the Lincoln Memorial, apparently. Because I was like, "What? Where is he at? How is this, like, anything to do with the Queen Mary?
So, it wasn't.
Yeah. And then I put, I'm liking his tie, because I gave it a little pop of color, because he was wearing, like, this nice red tie.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, join me. And his hands are in his pocket.
Yes! I was
and
like,
he's like, has his... Like, the, I feel like the overall sex appeal he's trying to have is just a lot.
If y'all think we're crazy, we're not. Go do yourselves a favor and Google.
It's every time he's, like, smirking or he has these, like, stances.
Well, give it a goog, as they say. Yeah. Give it a goog.
Give it a goog.
Young Robert Stack.
Oh, my gosh. That picture you sent me the other day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was gorgeous.
His wife was gorgeous, yes. too. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, my God.
And they're posing in front of a portrait of him on the wall.
The portrait is literally the same, almost the same thing he's wearing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And down to the same pose he's doing in the photo himself, real life.
Yeah.
As it is in the background. It looked like fake. I'm like, this is real? This is real. Okay, this is real.
Like, right. I'm Robert Stack. This is Mrs. Stack.
Uh-huh.
And this is Robert Stack behind us.
Right there? That's me. I don't know if y'all noticed that. That's me.
Yeah. Would you like me to pose?
I can't. Go look it up. That's why we're always talking about Rob, because Rob now is more sophisticated, older man.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I mean,
but he still knows he looks good. Mm-hmm. So, Queen Mary, right? Did you like the innuendo that this episode had?
No.
Because it's like they refer to Queen Mary as she.
This is the Queen Mary, now permanently moored in Long Beach, California. On her decks and in her corridors, people have seen and heard things they can't explain.
And then, and Rob's like voiceover for the beginning of it, he's like, on her deck and in her corridors.
Oh my God, Rob!
And I was like, okay, we're Rob. Getting real personal with
Look
Queen
at us
Mary.
Blushing. We're like, excuse me.
It was a lot. I was like, I get what we call boats like feminine pronouns, but I didn't need him to voice it that way.
I was just like, yeah, when you said that right now, I'm like, I didn't even notice that, I did. Rob.
Mm-hmm. So the first person we meet to interview is Carol Layden. She was a waitress. She'd been working on the Queen Mary for about 14 years.
I'd been here about 14 years when I'd first had the first experience with actually seeing what I thought to be a ghost. It was a December morning. I was in the work area, and for some reason I picked up a cup of coffee, went out to the table, and there was a lady sitting there. I was so fascinated by her dress. She appeared to be in a late afternoon cocktail-type dress from the 40s. She had dark hair rolled at the sides, no makeup on. She seemed to be very pale, but I never saw a movement. I left the table, went up about 10 feet, turned around because I wanted to take another look, and there was nothing there.
When she first had her very first experience of seeing what she believed, she says, to be a ghost. So she was like pouring coffee one morning, takes the coffee out to a table, sees a woman, and in the reenactment, this woman, her face, she's very pale and like there's no expression on her face. It just looks like she's very lost. But brings the coffee out to the woman, sets it on the table, notices the woman is dressed in like 1940s era type of dress, and her hair is pinned back. And then she leaves, and Carol's like, let me take one more look at this. This is kind of weird. Turns back, and she's gone.
Okay, I feel like I have to give, like, there's two sets of people here. One that's very about ghosts, and one that's like very skeptical, like I'm more of a realist about everything. And so I will know,
wait,
in the reenactment, I don't know if this is on purpose, though. Carol, they showed her going to the table, but it looked like she was in a trance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was, I don't know if like, that's how she was like, no, that's how I was. Mm-hmm. I was in the trance. Show me like that. Cause it looked like she was a zombie. I'm like, what the fuck is
just
going
like
on?
Just robotically places.
Just robotically. Like she didn't, like she was just doing everything. Like kind of like when you drive and you just don't know how you got there. Yeah. That's what it looked like what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, did they tell her to do this or is she telling them that's how it happened?
Well, like when she's relaying the story to them, she says like she doesn't know why she was pouring the coffee or bringing it out because that's not like what she was doing at that time. Like it felt like someone had put an order in and she was delivering it to them.
But what she said was, for some reason, I picked up a cup of coffee and I put, that's what you do as a waitress, I thought. Like,
yeah, but like the diner's empty.
What do you mean it was empty? Was it closed?
She didn't say that.
So I don't know. I don't know.
It was empty in the reenactment.
Okay. Well, maybe she wanted to drink it.
But,
all right.
But I said, like, when she turns around, there's no ghost. But there's that cup of coffee, like, that's sitting there. If she's following, like, proper food safety rules, she has to take that whole table down. And it has, like, the nice little napkin. Like,
oh, like the one that they make it into like a swan or whatever.
And it's all set up with like all the different types of dining, the coffee cup, the glasses, the
I can tell you right now, that shit was not real because that was not a the hotel. Motel. Anyway, Valerie. The hotel that it was at the time was not that fancy. I'm sorry.
I'm the Queen Mary?
No.
This is not just your regular Mary.
It's the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
I tried to book tickets like I was going to go and reserve a room just to see how much it was, but I guarantee it was closed permanently. Oh, not permanently. Temporarily. COVID. Thank you, COVID. Mm-hmm. Wear a mask. Anyways, I just wanted to see how much it was, but it doesn't look like it was like super thousands of dollars. So
but
I'm
this
like.
It was like 80s. Maybe it's nicer back then. Maybe they cared a little more.
Oh, jeez.
Okay? Maybe there's a personal touch.
I don't think so. I will say this. She said she handed the woman, and then she described her dress. And it was very odd the way she said it. Because I'm like, Carol said she was in an afternoon cocktail dress from the 1940s. And I was like, Carol, can I call you Carol? How'd you know that, girl? Because I'm like, afternoon?
Yeah, evening attire.
Cocktail dress from the 40s? I'm sorry, do you just read books on that? Are you like
maybe she's a history minor.
I'm a geography minor. Thank you. I'm not very good at it either. It's because I'm forgetful. Okay, I'm sorry. Getting off topic. But I was very, like, I don't know. I just thought that was a weird detail for her to mention. Like, afternoon cocktail dress in the 1940s. I'm like, girl, you saw a ghost. Isn't that enough? Don't sell it anymore.
She needs to let you know that it wasn't, like, a ghost from her time
period. You're trying too hard, Carol. From the 1940s. Carol. That's what did it for me. I was like, when she said that, I'm like, you didn't say shit. You didn't say anything. I was out. I was with you.
Okay.
I was rooting for you, Carol. I was like, okay. I like this.
I'm with you, Carol. If you're out there, I believe you 100%. But then we get to the Brown of the episode, Nancy Ann.
I can't.
Who says, she like describes herself as a skeptic. She's like, I'm probably the last person who should have had these experiences because I'm such a skeptic.
I am probably the last person that should have had these experiences because I'm such a skeptic. One day I was standing on the stairs of the pool, and out of the corner of my right eye, I saw a woman, probably in her 60s or 70s, in black and white. So I went down the stairs and around the pillar, expecting to find her standing there, and she wasn't anywhere to be found. It was only a matter of seconds. She couldn't have gone anywhere.
Okay. So, she's standing at the top of the pool, the first class pool, which I didn't understand.
And she did the same thing, robotic, zombie-like, as she's walking to the pool area. Like, it was very
maybe
weird.
Maybe they just can't act. Like, I don't know what to do
They're
with
like,
this.
Can you walk naturally? No, you're walking like a zombie.
This is how I walk.
No, it looks like a zombie. Forget it. We're out of time. Just go ahead.
I'm so skeptical. It's just my shoulders.
It's fine. We're going to go with it. Go. It's fine.
So, standing at the top of the pool, in the corner of her eye, she saw a woman in her late 60s or 70s in black and white standing at the edge. And I, like, the reenactment of this, I was fucking creeped out. That woman looks creepy. She's in black and white. Everything else is in color. And she's only in black and white. And she's in, like, a swimsuit. And she's about to do a dive.
The swimsuit, though, too, I will say wardrobe did step up. Because it was, like a full-bodied. She was in her, 70s, right?
Yeah.
But it looked like a swimsuit from, like, what, the 30s or 40s? Because it was, like, the full shorts.
Yeah.
Like, there was no midriff or anything. Like, it was a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't a spaghetti strap or anything. It was very old school.
Yeah.
But I was, like, I will say when we came to each other to talk about the first episode, we literally ran up to each other in the same excitement, but for different reasons.
I was like, yeah, I'm so creeped out. I think I had nightmares.
And I was like, this is horrible. I hated every second of it.
Ghosts are real. They're real.
Well, we did have that one experience.
I was about to be like, I say it in here, I'm yelling at you. I'm like, I know that you said you don't believe in ghosts, but you literally lived in a ghost house.
I did.
And you felt that there's something there.
There was.
Okay.
He shot himself in the head, and that was five months right before.
There were 49 recorded deaths on Queen Mary.
How long ago? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but like...
The thing is, my whole realist thing behind this, noises and stuff, the visions I can't say that I know where that came from because it's visions. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. We'll get into it with the noises. I'll explain in a minute what I think.
But so she goes down the stairs and around a pillar to see if the woman is there. But she's gone. And she said that she wouldn't have had any chance to go past her because, like, it's just a straight shot from the stairs to where she was and the woman was gone. And, like, the lighting they have on this is creepy as hell because it's, like, blue and...
I'll give you that.
And smoky.
The pools at night when it's dark, no. Absolutely fucking... Mm-mm. Creep just me out.
Anywhere. Don't go into a pool at night.
That's not good. Wardrobe is not going to lose Rob. They did not want to lose him. He demanded shit. He said that, like I said before in the last episode, he was like, you can't do this without me. And they were like, you know what? We can't. We can't. And so they listened, and our boy Rob's was looking real nice. Mm-hmm. Strutting down that pool.
That pool hall.
That pool hall. Yeah, it's a hall.
It was like a hallway.
Yeah. Ooh, it was creepy, though. Pool hall. But anyways, he was strutting. He was looking good.
He was.
How do we explain these sightings of reportedly well-balanced, level-headed people? Could they simply result from the power of suggestion, stimulated by an eerie location? Some parapsychologists believe that all locations are haunted. That is, they retain memories of past events, as some people with psychic sensitivities, or ESP, experience as hauntings. Whatever the explanation, the Queen Mary seems to be inhabited by something ethereal that has been seen and heard, but not explained.
He's in a gray suit, and he has a blue tie, which is very on brand for the theme of the show, because blue pool, Queen Mary. A lot of blue in this episode.
Yeah, yes! Or this story specifically. I'll get into it later, because I was like, what the fuck is with the blue?
Do you have something for that?
I tried to look up why, but I didn't get a clear answer.
And I said, he's like, when he's talking, oh!
That is not creepy to me. I'm like, I literally put in my notes, I put, man, when the... At one point, no, we haven't got to that story yet, but the animation of the lady, I was like, that must have been, like, top quality for that. The production must have been like, look at us.
They looked at that and they were like, damn. Yes. Okay, you see how his, like, one hand in the pocket?
But he also has a darker gray and then a lighter gray pant. Like, the top. He does. His top blazer is a darker gray. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom, he has a lighter gray. And I was like, damn.
Rob. And he's talking with his hands a lot. He's got some really good hand movements. And I was like, he's just so casual, so laid back. Might hook up with a ghost later.
Fuck no. Stop. Don't disparage our Rob. He would not. He strikes me as the one.
And he's so woman. Like, if I was by this pool right now, I would not be acting as like cool as he is. I'd be losing my fucking shit.
That shit was creepy. Now, what does creep me out is the background, like the old... When they show, because they do show old-timey, like, actual footage. Mm-hmm. And that's what creeps me out, because I'm like, ooh, this was a long time. This boat, old buildings, like the one we're in, old things in general that have been around, oh, they creep me out.
Because they just have, like,
a lot of history.
Memories built in, I feel.
I do think things, like, places carry memories.
Yeah.
It's very coincidental. It's, like, the same people and the same...
Which is what he said. He said... some parapsychologists believe all areas are haunted, which means contain past memories and feelings. And, like, some people who are sensitive or psychic, they can pick up on those things. And so that's why they feel that we have sightings or experiences is what we believe are ghosts. But we might just be, like, being in tune with past memories.
Yeah. Oof. Would you want that? Would you want to feel that? Be able to feel that?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
No.
Gross.
I don't.
If you can, I'm sorry you can, because I would feel like that would be a lot of responsibility and a lot of creepiness to have on you, girl.
It would. It's like, I don't know. Like, there's things that I don't, like the fucking Long Island medium. I don't believe in that shit. Mm-mm. But, like, you know how they say kids are more open?
Oh, I believe that.
And, like, Dwayne's mom, like, she's had many experiences with, like, things like that. She's real sensitive. And so, like, Dwayne had some, I don't know, thing, ghost following him around when he was a kid. And she had to tell him to, like, move and go on.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a psychic that we went to. I told you that.
Yeah. Look, I talked about your palm reading, too.
No, Palm. It was a psychic reading.
Okay.
She has since passed, by the way. It was horrible. I felt so
bad. That wasn't a dig at her. It was a dig at you.
Whatever. Anyways, I showed her this video of Elise. I showed you, didn't I?
In the grocery store?
Yes, yeah. And she was seeing shit. And I was like, well, maybe it's gnats. And I looked, it's not gnats. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I'm like, okay. And I still was like, and she kept clinging on to me. Mom, they're right there. They're right there. And I was like, oh, my God. So I immediately left because I got creeped out. And I showed the psychic. And she was like, send me this. Send me this right now. And then I'm going to send it to other people. And I was like, oh, fuck. Mm. And then she, when I brought her back the next time, she goes, oh, you brought your daughter. I said, yeah. She goes, I said, she was telling me, at least when we got there, she goes, it's sharks over there. And I was like, where? And I looked and there was nothing. And she's like, the psychic was like, oh, that's weird. And I go, what? And she goes, and the thing is, it might've been coincidental that there was a high school staying in the hotel and that was their mascot, the sharks.
Yeah.
But it could have been a coincidence to me. Well, I'm like, it
could just be sensitive.
I don't know.
Just fun dealing with that.
Oh my God. Anyways, we're off the rails.
Dead people.
Whatever. We're off the rails again.
Oh, I'm happy and gay because I'm sailing away.
The Queen Mary took her maiden voyage on May 27th, 1936, and transported the titled and elite from both sides of the Atlantic.
The Queen Mary, how'd you like to come with me?
During that five-day voyage, the Queen Mary was a floating party, a living symbol of luxury travel.
A British crew, so when I go over the sea, the Queen Mary takes me.
In the Second World War, the Queen Mary was turned into a troop ship. Due to her ghostly gray camouflage, she was ironically nicknamed the Gray Ghost. After the war, she reverted back to her former glory and crossed the ocean a total of 1,001 times. In the over 30 years the ship was at sea, she witnessed 4 births and at least 49 recorded deaths.
Queen Mary took her maiden voyage, which means, I didn't know this, did you know that?
Her first?
I didn't know that!
Maiden voyage, it sounds like Queen Mary lost her virginity.
I did put, like, that does sound a little pornographic for
me. And did you like the song? Oh, I'm happy. And
yes! I was like, are we going to mention it? I was like, what? And I was like, what? Oh, we, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
She got her own song!
I know, we don't even have our own song.
No, I mean... Is anyone you've had sex with write a song about you?
I don't know. Maybe. I haven't listened very closely. One day. I'm just kidding.
During her five-day voyage, her first one, Queen Mary was a giant party.
Queen Mary had her own song. Get it, girl!
Yeah.
Oh, I put... Our boy Rob said it was a floating party, a living symbol for luxury and travel. Mm-hmm. Mostly for what? The who?
White people.
Elite.
Yeah, elite.
White people.
Which were white people back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably now.
Mm-hmm.
In the Second World War, she was transformed into a transport ship nicknamed the Gray Ghost because of her color. Because,
yeah, that creeped me out a little. I was like, ooh, that doesn't bode well.
That's a bad omen, I feel, to name your...
Yeah, that's
warship.
Let's not do that anymore. Ghost. How about you don't name it after ghost because then, you know, your ship might be kind of go... Become a ghost.
And she did.
And she went back to her former glory, and I was like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? Just because she has some wear and tear on her?
She got a little lift.
Excuse me.
They buffed her, cleaned her up a little bit.
This is where I understand what you were saying, but she crossed the ocean like 1,001 times.
Yeah.
I'm not judging Mary. I'm just saying, wow, girl.
She got around.
Get it, girl. Get it. We're not slut shaming. You do what you want to do. That's not what we're here for. But it did say for 30 years at sea, there were 4 births, and I put gross.
I said, that's it? That's all you have?
Births? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, because you know back then when you're going to have, around the time you're going to have the baby, you wouldn't want to fucking get on a boat. And then 49 deaths recorded, and I put recorded because how many people, well, we're not going to get into this, but we should do a Patreon one day of, like, cruise ships and how people disappear off of them all the time.
Yeah, they just
because they put, that's how many were recorded. Can you imagine back then how many people were like, eh, I'm going to push my wife off. I don't know. She's gone. She just disappeared.
I think she ran off with the, like, man who delivers us our towels. Definitely not into the ocean.
Yeah. No, I definitely did not push her into the, over the railing. Did not do that. Didn't happen.
After her arrival in Long Beach in 67, John Smith was an engineer, and John would check the ship thoroughly, and he spent a lot of time exploring. And they have him doing this interview in, like, the dark of, like, the hull, I guess, of the ship, and all he has is a flashlight for, like, which is, no.
That would have been creepy as fuck.
And I said, advocate for yourself, John.
I know, and he's an older man. I'm like, yeah, you're not a young...
need to be down here with just a flashlight.
It sounded like there had been a rupture of the ship's hull. It was frightful. I went up to the extreme bow section of the ship. The sound was here, but there was no water. I had nothing to cause it. I don't believe in supernatural things, but in all my experiences as a marine engineer, I've never seen anything like this.
The job took him into the remote regions of her bows.
Excuse me? Did you ask for consent, sir?
Ooh, and then when I was watching this, like, the kids' toys started going off. Ones that you have to move. Like, their fridge that you have to open and leave the doors open. Mm-hmm. And then another one that you have to, like, push. And it's, I'm just telling you.
One of them, one time, one of Elisa's toys went off at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And Ryan and I both woke up like, what the hell is that? And then he's like, oh, it's just her toy. And he's like, what are you doing? I literally got up. You know how those, like, white people in the movies are like, meh, it's fine. Yeah. I got up at 3 a.m, took that shit outside, and threw it out. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, nope. And he's like, are you serious?
We're not playing.
Nope.
We're not playing.
This isn't a scary movie. I'm not, This is not one of those movies where we just ignore shit, and we're like, nah, it's fine. No. That shit went out the fucking door in the cold, and Ryan's like, you're just going to leave it there? Yep. I literally yeeted it. I'm not kidding. He's like, I can't believe you just did that. I'm like, yeah, you'll thank me later.
When we aren't being, or don't have a poltergeist.
Like now. Thank you. Because I got rid of all the poltergeist toys. All right.
So several times over the 2-month period, he heard something where there should have been nothing, like no sound. And it was the sounds of metal tearing, water rushing, and men screaming.
I can't explain that. I like the metal. I'm like, the metal. I'm like, there's a lot of shit that goes on. Like, even in a house, sometimes you hear it and you're like, what was that? But it's like the house moving or settling or whatever you call it.
And do you just hear random people screaming?
I know, but like,
So he could never explain it, but years later, he read about a wartime tragedy where Queen Mary had an accidental collision with the British cruiser, the Kurosawa. And over 300 men were killed.
But on the other ship.
Yeah. Because Queen Mary's bow sliced the other ship in half.
She fucked that shit up.
Yeah, she was like...
I think that, like, they had something going on and during the 1,000, you know, time she crossed. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, I remember you, bitch. And she was like, bam!
Slice. Yeah. I was like, damn, and she walked off. Do all that?
Yeah, fuck yeah. She walked off without, barely a dent. Like, a small damage.
Whatever.
She's like, all right, see you later, bitch. Deuces. No, not to do that to me next time.
So that's what it would have, like, the sounds would have mimicked that tragedy.
I was pulling for Mary. I was, because I kept thinking, I remember some wartime story, and I know it exists somewhere, about a ship where men are trapped under in the metal, and it's filling up, and they all drowned.
Yeah.
And it was haunted. That I would be like, oh, fuck, that'd be creepy. But I looked and looked and looked. There was nothing like that.
No?
Mm-mm. So I'm like, I get the whole tearing and everything, but I was waiting for a big story to be like, and there was like 80 men killed, or there were like 3 men killed, but there was nothing. There were like regular, like, there was no super, there was just like nothing monumental that was like, there was a huge, massive amount of people that were murdered at the same time, or like during that crash.
300 people.
On the other side.
No one died in her ship.
Yes, but not during that accident. So I understand the water rushing and people screaming, but they were screaming because obviously the water was rushing in, but nobody died. I didn't say that. So I was kind of like, I was rooting for you. I really wanted to feel kind of like, ooh, so that's something.
Mm-hmm.
The other ship has it, I guarantee you.
With the people Kurosawa, I feel like it's at the bottom of the ocean now.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Bitch got sliced in half. Oh. It was just like,
you know what?
Tape her together. Let's keep going.
No, he messed with the wrong bitch. You don't fuck with Mary, okay? I'm just saying.
No, not this gray ghost, okay? Mm-mm.
We came into the pool, and I heard giggling, sound of a little girl or a child playing in the area. And at that point, I noticed there was splashing. The splashing stopped, the giggling continued, and we observed the footprints of a small child walking across into the locker room.
Oh, the one that did creep me out a little bit was Kathy Love.
Thank you.
Kathy Love. Mm-hmm. And a worker were there in the pool area and heard mysterious sounds, and I put giggling absolutely fucking out. No, other way. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We don't want to insult anybody, but they're white people. They go toward. Oh, it's giggling? Let me investigate. No. Look.
Because giggling.
See, look. You heard literally right now. This is proof. We both heard the water cooler turn off, and we weren't expecting it. We both looked at it, and we almost fucking were out. Out. What would you do if you heard giggling when you weren't supposed to hear giggling? You'd get fuck out.
I'd leave.
You jet.
I'm not going to go toward the giggling.
Exactly. So anyways, they both were there, and were like, ooh, what is this? And they said, it sounded like a little girl, and I was like, ew, oh my God, that's creepy as fuck. Mm-hmm. Then they saw splashing in the pool, and I was like, ooh, gross. And they saw the footprints of a small child, and that creeped me the fuck out. Because I was like, little kids and ghosts and shit like that? Mm.
Yeah, like child ghosts? No. Fuck no. Fuck no. I'm out.
And I did say production probably was like, this is our best fucking episode. We gave them the old lady on the pool.
The old lady, mm-hmm.
And black and white.
Yep.
And we gave them kid footprints that were wet. Mm-hmm. And they looked good for that
time. They did, yeah.
And you know, people watched it and were like, oh, footprints, how did they do that shit? And production was like, yeah, that was us. Yeah.
Stepped up wardrobe, mm-hmm. Stepped up graphic, whatever.
They didn't want to lose Rob. Mm-hmm. They were scared. I don't blame them. Oh, and then I put, okay, in the reenactment, the splashing was on. Mm-hmm. And then the lady was just captivated. And then it stopped. Mm-hmm. And the lady was still kind of like, what the hell? And like, what's going on? And the guy was like, all right, well, back to work. And he was like writing on his notepad. And I'm like, read the room. You're still like, you're supposed to be like.
Get over it.
No, so next scene.
Child giggling.
Keep rolling. Whatever. I'm like, what is up?
And then at night, we hear about John Petter. Was it Petter or Peter? Petter.
Wait.
We're not there?
Can I? Yes, but can I do my thing?
Yeah.
I wanted to.
Can I do my thing? Go for it.
It was very, like you were saying earlier, incidents occurred in the shaft.
Yes.
Alley.
The shaft alley.
Way deep.
Several unexplained encounters have occurred in shaft alley, deep within the ship, near the engine room. Here, in 1966, during a routine fire drill, a man named John Petter was crushed to death in a watertight bullet.
So deep. In the ship. In, you want to say the next part? In 1966?
Mm-hmm. John Petter was crushed to death in a watertight door.
I put, holy fuck, now that would be haunting.
Yes.
That would be like, oh fuck. Mm-mm.
I had a second experience down in Shaft Alley. It was about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the evening. I was working in the capacity of a lead guide, which meant my job was to close down the tour route and make sure that there weren't any stragglers behind. And I don't know why I turned around, but I turned around, and standing right behind me on the step was a man. He had blue overalls. They were dirty. When I stepped aside to let him go by, he wasn't there. He was gone.
And then it's Nancy Ann again, who is closing down the tour route, and she has to go make sure that no one is just like meandering around. And so she's on the escalator, and right beside her, she turns. And this creeped me out because it was a jump scare. Because in the reenactment, it's like she's there, no one's behind her. And then she turns, and all of a sudden there's this very hairy man, like full beard and mm-hmm. hair, behind her. And so he's so close. He's like breathing on her neck. And so she just looks forward, gets to the top of the escalator to like be like, hey, you want to pass me? But he's gone.
And my encounter of it is Nancy said, I had a second experience down in the shaft alley. And I was like, I bet you did, Nancy girl.
Get it. Second experience.
And then it says, after all that, it says people still think there's hauntings in the shaft. And I was like, I bet. I bet. Mm-mm. And I put, okay, I'm done.
And Nancy was like, I only believe myself and what I've seen. I don't know what fucking Carol and Kathy are on, but
she is very sure of herself. She doesn't believe them. She's like, I don't know. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Me? Oh, yeah. Totally.
What I've experienced, true. Anyone else? No. Wrong. Didn't happen. Mm-mm. Fake news.
I don't necessarily believe any other ghost stories that other people have come up with. I only know what I saw, and I only believe what I saw with my own eyes.
God, no!
I'm sorry, but Nancy Ann is a fake news person.
No!
She is. Yep. Oh, yep. She is. That. I just tell facts here, okay?
Yes, you can tell.
So, Unsolved Mysteries brought a team of experts who have investigated hauntings. Stop with your parentheses.
I'm sorry.
To the ship, William Roll is one of the world's leading authorities on poltergeists.
Danish-born William Roll is one of the world's leading authorities on poltergeists.
I'm often asked the question, do you believe in ghosts? And what I expect I will be asked, you know, when I finish this investigation, are there ghosts on this ship? And these are questions that I cannot answer.
And Roll says that he can't tell us if ghosts exist or not. And I'm like, okay, then what's your fucking job here? Because that's literally, you're an expert.
So you had one job.
Or do they not exist?
You had one job, William.
Just tell me.
And they put their fancy pants equipment in there. So we have this and this, and I'm like, fancy pants equipment.
A lot of things that I don't want to write the name of. Yeah. And then Tony Cornell, who's also researched paranormal activity for 25 years, he's a skeptic, but he says that, and I hate when they were like, sane people have experienced things, and I'm like, okay.
What does that mean?
Like, sane, so like they don't have any mental health issues.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, if you had depression and you saw a ghost, you're lying.
I know, yeah, that's not.
I didn't like how much they like focused on like sane.
They were all, now I'm using it, quotations, normal. Yeah. And they were fine. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean, mm-hmm. bitch? I have ADHD. If I saw a ghost, isn't that okay?
Yeah.
Rude.
There you go. She has ADHD.
I know.
And glaucoma. I mean, come
on. Could you stop listing my ailments?
To mention the glaucoma at least once every episode. It's what the people want.
I literally just picture them thinking that I'm some old lady with giant glasses. Like the lady from Pets. Remember, was it? Have you watched Real Life, Secret Life of Pets Part 2?
Yeah.
The old lady at the very end with the cats with mm-hmm. the giant glasses. Yeah, and she puts them on, and they're like 3 inches thick. And she still can't see what she has them on.
I wonder if she took her drops.
Whatever. I'm taking both my drops now, thank you.
So Roll brought a team of psychics, and Cornell set up equipment, because like Roll really deals with like psychics and their energy and whatnot, and Cornell deals with more of the technological side of the investigation. The psychics went off alone, and I would have hated that, because that's terrifying.
They live for that shit, though. That's what they want.
To just go off alone?
Well, if their whole thing is to be in... And with them, they have to be, like, I'm guessing to do what they do, they have to be in, not tune, and involved with their self and their senses. Mm-hmm. You can't have somebody next to you doing that. You're going to get distracted. You need to be totally alone for
that. I guess at that point, you have to kind of, like, make yourself not scared of it. Because mm-hmm. it's something you experience.
Well, I don't think that they would be, or else they wouldn't be psychics. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit wouldn't scare you if you're a psychic.
So, some psychics had nothing to report, but others saw.
Janice did.
Yeah. Wait, is Janice the one with the big hair?
The blue. She wore blue everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blue everything.
Blue blazer. Blue eyeshadow. Blue earrings. And I put, what the fuck? When they panned in, mm-hmm. everybody in the psychic group, I'm not kidding, was wearing some shade of blue.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It was like the color scheme was just very blue.
But it wasn't a scheme. Why can't you dress normal? Just wear what you're going to wear. People should have been like, they planned it.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, this is what's gonna look best. Rob said he had to wear a blue tie, so
we don't Don't disparage Rob. You've got to tie it in. He would not.
One of them showed up wearing red, and he was like, no. Uh-uh.
Go back.
Leave.
Anybody have anything blue? Take that. No, take the sweater off.
You think you're going to outdo me, Janice? This is my show.
Hasn't anybody talked to you yet? No, she was not having it.
No. One of them felt the collision that John Smith had felt in her hole.
I was like, I can't spill it on the table. Otherwise, if I spill it on the table, we'll get kicked out of here. We'll stain it. What? What?
In her hole.
Hole?
I said hole.
You said hole.
No, I said in her hole.
Then why did you laugh?
Because you died and spit out your wine. Because
you said hole.
Because as soon as I said it, I was like, she thinks I said hole.
Yep. Because you sounded like you said hole.
Hole.
Enunciate.
In her hole.
Okay.
Good.
I mean, I wasn't judging her.
And then the other one.
Drink this wine.
Did feel the experience in Shaft Alley.
How am I supposed to work under these conditions? Like, for realsies. Like, how am I supposed to do my job?
We are doing a super serious podcast. Tighten it up.
Down the ship. All right. Continue. Just wait, but let me finish. If you're going to say Shaft again, let me know so I can drink my wine first.
I think I'm done saying Shaft Alley. I think we're good. But I might say Hull again.
I'm going to zip it. I'm going to zip it real tight.
It is a fact that some psychics manage to pick up things and you can't quite see how they got it. But you've got to be suspicious about this because there's a thing called feedback. I mean, I've met enough mediums now who've read what they want to tell you in the newspaper.
And Cornell was pretty skeptical of the psychics because he says he's worked with psychics and some of them will just tell him things that they've read in the newspaper. And I was like, well, those aren't psychics. They're just liars. Roll, the William Roll guy, was down in the hull, no, in the bow, and he heard some sounds he couldn't explain, which was the same sounds that John Smith was hearing, the metal, no, he heard men talking. It was men talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so he placed a recorder down there.
For most of the night, this is what was recorded. Nothing. In the early morning, for a full 2 minutes, the tape recorder picked up sounds where no sounds should be. This is a condensed version of the actual tape. Earlier, the bow had been sealed off. The researchers attempted to duplicate the sounds through mechanical means. They were unsuccessful.
And he said in the 30 years of investigation, this was the first time he had heard unexplained sounds. And the recorder picked up sounds, talking and metal. And it was creepy. They did the actual recording. Yes. Would you like to interject?
I would like to say that Rob isn't having any of this bullshit.
No, he's not.
Rob is on my side. Because I did put the men talking, and I put in the bow at 3:15, I put, Rob isn't having it. And he put in quotations, he put, for the most of the night, this is what was recorded. And and he goes, nothing. And I was like, damn, Rob! Rob was not playing. Rob was like, no, I'm going to say it. I don't care what you say. He literally said, and this is what was recorded. I was waiting to hear something. I was like,
nothing.
And he goes, nothing. I was like, oh, burn. Okay.
This is what was recorded.
Nothing. You know they fought him on it. You know they were like, you can't do that. And he was like, no, I am. Be. Or mm-hmm. I'm walking. And they were like, Rob, come
Can
on.
You stop threatening to leave? I won't.
This is toxic. This is a toxic relationship, Rob. You can't keep doing this.
I want my way.
He got
my
it.
My way or the highway.
And I'm sorry. It made it a better show because I was like, damn.
But the talking was like, you hear two people talking on the recording and you hear metal clanging. I just think it was real.
Mm-hmm. I just think there are two sets of people listening.
Yeah.
There are
types of people.
I know we have a small crowd, but I still think that there are people who are very like, yes, absolutely. Like, I believe mm-hmm. in that. And there are people like me who are like, I do believe in that, but I just...
You need more proof?
Yeah.
Or you don't like the way that it was done here?
It's not that it was done here. It's just super convenient. I'm like, oh, you came on here with... how many psychics were there? I know there's a joke there to be had. All these psychics on the boat.
When you get 8 psychics in a room.
I know. I'm like, whatever.
When you get 8 psychics in the hole.
Why? You can't keep saying things like that. Expect me not to react.
I'm sorry.
You know I'm juvenile.
Cornell says that man has had this type of experience for as long as can be recorded, and they'll continue to have this type of experience, so someone needs to be able to explain it. And we have Rob saying, is the Queen Mary haunted? We cannot say yes, but we cannot say no.
What can explain these hauntings? Overactive imagination? A quest for publicity? Or something more intangible? Something supernatural. Is the Queen Mary haunted? We cannot say yes, but we cannot say no.
I feel like he had to say that to be like safe face, to be like, okay, I still have to fucking give people hope or they're not gonna come back.
There's like me like, please, Rob, please say ghosts exist. Yes. He didn't say no.
Cling on to that glimmer of hope.
Oh, because now we got to go into fucking the second story.
We're moving on from the shaft, guys.
We had such a good time in Queen Mary's hole and her shaft alley. And now we have to...
Oh, this one's rough, guys. Trigger mm-hmm. warning. You made it this far. And I know we probably said it from the beginning, but I'm literally rubbing my eyes because I'm like, I can't.
It's really bad.
Real bad. Real bad, guys.
So trigger warning for sexual assault, for... murder,
explicit
abuse, explicit content, white
male privilege.
Yeah,
white male if that triggers privilege. You, like it triggers me. Because literally, if I'm listening to another podcast and they're like, trigger warning for white male privilege, I'd be like, I'm out.
And dumb ass cops.
Dumb. I was gonna say dumbassery.
And a lot of dumbassery. Mm-hmm. So I'll do the summary for this one.
Wait, wanted. Go ahead. I read the thing is I always do the little missing person wanted or this or that. So I did it.
Yeah.
Wanted.
I like it. Thanks. And if on February 27th, 1978, in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, there were four people parked in a car. Roxanne, who was 16 years old, Joe Shepherd, and then two teenage boys, or what they call friends in the episode, who watched from the back seat. In the front were Joe and Roxanne, and Joe was continuously pressing Roxanne to have sex with him. She kept saying no. Eventually, she escapes him and gets out of the car, and he follows her into the woods. He comes back to the car and says... she ran off, and then him and the two teenage boys in the back seat leave. And Roxanne is never seen again.
February 27th, 1978, Tellico Plains, Tennessee. In a parked car, 16-year-old Roxanne Woodson fought off the advances of a man named Joe Shepherd. Two friends watched from the back seat. Roxanne escaped, ran off into the night. Joe chased after her. Roxanne never returned.
Rob needs to be more clear because I'm writing, about all this happening, and then I put, in the middle of writing, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, because it literally says, Roxanne escaped into the night. And I was like, oh, good. They're like, and then he chased after her. She was never seen again. I'm like, Rob. Yeah.
Exactly.
Get your shit together or word that correctly. Just say she ran off, he went after her, and then when he said it, like, another sentence, I'm like, oh.
And I was like, okay, maybe it's just, like, missing.
And
like,
nah, and he chased it after her. No. I'm like, Rob, mm-hmm. come on, man. That was a knife to the gut when he said that. I was like, I'm literally writing it. In the middle of writing, I put, oh, thank goodness.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. So they show this photo of Roxanne, and I was just really in my feelings in this one, I guess, because when they showed the photo of her, I was, like, wanting to cry because she's so young, and, like, she's matched her eyeshadow to the little bandana that's tied around her neck to her shirt, like, lining. Mm. It's all, like, so together, and her cheeks are just, like, still round because she's such a baby.
At one point, Rob calls, I think, both of them children, like a child. And I'm like, oh, he must have felt some sort of way about this, too.
Yeah. Which I was glad that they called her a child.
Yeah. Absolutely. 1,000%.
You don't ever hear it said like that, but she was 16 years old.
When you hear it like that, you're like, I guess because we're teachers, too, and moms, we're both like, oh, fuck. When we see it's like kids, we're like, oh, this is going to be a rough one. That's why you texted me, you're like, this is going to be...
I told horrible. Her, I'm like, her, I was like, have you watched the Joe Shepherd one yet? And she's like, starting it now, and I got this beautiful screenshot of her.
I didn't think you were going to leak that out, okay?
Freshly starting the episode. And I was like, just so you know, like, you're going to be disgusted and really pissed off.
Oh.
So when Roxanne failed to come home, her family began to worry, and we meet Dorcas.
Put it on a lighter note.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandmother.
Yes.
I love her. I love her. She's so sweet. She was very, like, badass. Like, she wanted to find her.
Yeah. She was not taking any shit.
No.
You just wring your hands and there's no outlet. There's no relief. Because you haven't got her. She's gone. You don't know what's happened to her. And she's out there and you can't reach her. And you can't help her.
Her name was Dorcas.
Mm-hmm.
Dorcas. Mm-hmm. Is that normal?
Have you seen Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
No.
Oh. It's a musical. Oh, I wouldn't recommend musicals. Watching it. It didn't age well. Anyways.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it aged well. Like, no. Even the title, I'm like,
it's
what?
It's like about some seven brothers living in the country, and one goes and, like, gets a wife, and then she has to come home and cook for his six brothers, and then he makes... Or, like, talks the other brothers into going and stealing women for them. And then it basically just turns into Stockholm Syndrome. And they fall in love with the brothers and get
so
married.
So sex trafficking and Stockholm Syndrome is what
It didn't age well. That's what I said.
At all. They need to shut that shit down already.
Anyways,
fuck
there's
no.
a character in there named Dorcas. We watched that in, like, elementary school for music class.
Oh, God. Anyways, poor Dorcas is wearing... Like I said, I'm not trying to be like, but I was like, Dorcas, what you, I think she was like, I'm going to be on TV. I want to look nice at least.
What it reminded me of is, like, you know, the polygamists that live on, like, the compounds? I'm not being funny, okay?
I don't know what they're called. About.
What are they called? You know, it's like escaping.
Polygamous.
Yeah, I guess. That's the type of dress. And her hair was done in the same style, like the bun.
Yeah, I think she might have... The thing is, she could have been one. Well, we don't know.
I love Dorcas, but she says something later on that I was like, Dorcas, that's weird.
I don't know if I remember that. I mean, it might have.
What she says is sad because she's like, you just wring your hands and there's no outlet and there's no release because you haven't got her. She's gone and you don't know what happened to her. And she's like, she's out there and you can't reach her and you can't help her. And I was like, as a mom, I'm like, oh, I don't even want to think about it.
We're not.
I don't.
We're not.
I won't. But I'm like, it hurts me. It hurts me in my soul.
Then one of the other scenes, the next scene comes out. It's Rob talking in the police office.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like strutting through the office.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at these people. They have people working in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because some of them were women, some of them were men, but I was like, I know if I was an extra, I'd be like, can I get his autograph afterwards? Like, I wonder if that was going on. Because I would have been like, hey, I know I'm an extra, but like afterwards, can I please ask or get his like picture with my disposable camera?
I'll get this developed right away.
I know this is a super serious subject, but like, I'm just saying, can I please get his autograph?
They would have been like, just act normal, go about your like normal working day, and I would have been.
I would have been glancing up, like, is that with my little typing skills? Like, oh, is that Rob? Hey, Rob. I would have been catcalling him, going back to my.
Was it me? They're like, we need you to leave the set.
Oh my God. I can't. Our boy Rob wants to let us know he doesn't like this shit pouch.
For weeks, there was no trace of Roxanne. And as her investigation unfolded, the police became convinced that the last person who saw her, Joe Shepherd, was a psychopathic killer.
For weeks, there's no trace of her. And mm-hmm. as her investigation unfolded, the police became convinced that the last person who saw her, Joe Shepherd, was a psychopathic killer.
I know. I was like, wow. Okay. We literally jumped real quick, Rob. Rob, that's why we fucking love him. He was like, no, fuck this guy.
Psychopathic killer.
Fucking shit pouch.
The night after Roxanne went missing, the police went to where Joe Shepherd lived with his parents to take him in for questioning. And the reenactment, we have Joe's like, gotta have my shoes on. Jesus. And he goes in to grab boots, but grabs his shotgun. The police fire two fucking warning shots.
Warning shots. And after then, he grabbed a mm-hmm. shotgun.
And then wrestle with him to get the shotgun away. And I was like, must be nice to be white.
The white privilege of it all.
Two warning shots, and he's standing there with a shotgun. If this was a black man, a Hispanic man, any type of person of color, they would have been fucking dead as soon as they laid hands on that shotgun. Been able to go get boots.
As soon as they even thought he was reaching for it, mm-hmm. they would have shot him dead.
Two warning shots. I was like, you've got to be kidding mm-hmm. me.
He did. I thought that too. I was like, motherfucker.
So he was brought in for interrogation. His original story, and Rob does go, his original story, was that he had tried to seduce Roxanne. She was becoming annoyed with his persistent efforts and had jumped from the car and run into the woods. He ran after her. He came back, told the two boys who just watched. Oh, yeah, that's just me. They just watched as he assaulted her. That he couldn't get her back, and she was just gone. And so he was booked for assaulting the police, made bond, and was released.
Are we in Texas?
You and I have got to come to like the realization that like cops are just gonna be cops no matter where the fuck we are in the United States. Like they're just gonna like prefer white men and like not give a shit about that this girl is missing and let them off real easy. And then
I don't know why. The thing is, my thing is, not all cops. We're not saying all cops. Well, here, yeah, all cops. Okay.
I'm sorry.
My thing was, like, I don't know why they didn't take it seriously, because if they're good old boys, she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they? And she was white. I understand if it was a black girl, Mexican girl, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Person of color. Mm-hmm. They'd be, like, acting like this. But for it to be a white little girl, why they weren't, like, fucking breaking down the door to try to get to him. But, like, I guess, like you said, though, he's white.
And he was white, and I feel like he was kind of, like, charming in a way. For them, for them, he was charming.
What is with we men? See that later like, on. Get yes, I know what you're talking about. We'll get to it. But he was released, and I put he was released.
Yeah,
and then I put they started a search, mm-hmm. and then 60 people. Hold on to your hats.
Whoop-de-doo.
Hold on to your hats. He volunteered for the fucking search. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck let him? Because if I was the mom, I'd be like, get him the fuck out of here, or I'm gonna beat his ass.
Because even without knowing what we're about to know,
he was still like questioned.
He was assaulting their daughter or her granddaughter, or like, you know, that he was getting like rough and trying to take advantage of her. And you're like, it's totally cool that you're volunteering right now.
Fuck right off, dude. And then I was asking,
which serial killer inserted themselves? Do you know?
A lot of them.
Yeah, well, I looked in
there were so many, and there was one where he killed an exchange student. It was a girl who had come from I forget which country and gave mm-hmm. her a ride, and the girlfriend took him down by wearing a wire, and when she took him down, he was in a vigil for her, telling her all the details about how he killed her.
Oh my god!
We'll get back to that one one day. But it was that one was triggering too. But there are a lot of them that insert themselves and go on the searches.
I looked and I saw Ed Kemper did.
Are you serious?
He was like buddies with the cops. He would go
out. Yeah. That I knew, that the buddy thing.
But he would go out with the cops investigating his murders, and they would do like drive arounds to try to look for evidence and
then
shit.
Maybe that's how he did it, is that he was, and I put it in quotes because I don't think it, but these dickheads probably thought it. These cops probably thought he was charming.
Oh, like when they talk about Ed Kemper, like in any of they're like, oh, Ed Kemper's so amazing.
He was just, and they try to defend it too, like, he was just so charming though, like, couldn't help it. I'm like, what?
Stop.
Can you please, like, you're lucky you weren't a woman, you would have had your skull bashed in, you dumbasses.
They brought in dogs to track her scent. It went a few yards into the woods and then abruptly stopped. And so Roxanne's family is now panicking. And this was the odd thing that Dorcas said. She's like, we fell down to our knees and said, oh God, oh no, not her. She loves her daddy so much.
What?
We just knew she would not have run off.
I think I heard it, but I kind of just like was like, I heard dear God, and I was like, okay, I'm out. I think I went to go like get water or something.
I was like, there's like more reasons for this girl not running off than she just loves her daddy so much. And she doesn't want to leave him. And it was just, it might not seem weird to someone else. It was just weird to me. I think it's the verbiage of daddy, because I just don't like that.
Until the afternoon of April 8th, 1978.
Roxanne's body was found after Joe's mother was standing at the window in the kitchen looking out. And she noticed that the dogs were digging and going on at one specific location there. And she became alarmed. She went outside and walked up on what proved to be two hands sticking out of the ground.
Oh! Lewis! Lewis! And the next part is where they show the reenactment of how they find her.
Yeah.
They do find her, and it's the scene of Joe's house, because he lived with his parents. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a junkyard.
Yeah, it did.
And there were just dogs, and I was like, oh, this is fucking bad. And I was like, what the fuck? And they're sniffing around, and they're digging around something, and they said that his mom heard noises of the dogs barking and just rustling through stuff. And she came out, and then she looked, and there was hands, and I put the reenactor. It's not funny, but the reenactor lady was like, Lewis! Lewis! And I was like, I put clap.
Yeah.
That was...
You did it. They asked you to do it, and you did it.
You did it, girl. I'm like, girl, you did not... we didn't need all that. Like, it was very put on. I'm like, can we not? Like, God.
It's better than her being like, oh, my.
Oh, goodness. Lewis.
She notified the authorities. Thank goodness. Like, I think she knew her son was a shitbag, too. They came and removed Roxanne's body from the graveyard. It was Roxanne. She was in a shallow grave. Some of her clothes had been missing, and her pants were wrapped around her head.
The reenactment, I will say, they did a really good job of, like, showing the hands.
Ooh, yeah.
I was triggered on that. I was like, oh, fuck. Because you know they're, like, little girls' hands, and you're like, oh, my God. You're like, oh, it was bad. And they looked really decomposed. I'm like, how did they? I was like, in my head, how did they? I don't want to know. But it looked really like that's what it would have looked like.
Yeah. Because, anyways.
We went to his ex-mother-in-law's home to conduct a search. And they told us he wasn't there. We went in and searched the house and found him. There was a child in the bed, and he was rolled up in the covers under the foot of the bed. Like, the cover was just rolled down to the foot of the bed. He was hidden in there.
We meet Investigator Joe Graves, who's a character, and he talks about when they went in, and they called Joe's ex-wife, right, to see if he was there at her house. And they're like, no, he's not here. They went, or her mother's house, so his mother-in-law, went over there, and they're like, he's not here, but they went in anyways, and he was, like, hiding rolled up in a child's bed under some blankets, and I was like, okay.
So they went out of their way to hide them.
Yeah.
Which was like, did they not know? Were they oblivious, or were they just,
like... no way. I mean, this...
But like you say, sometimes you think you know somebody.
But I feel like... to do something like this, you hate women.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that he never treated his ex-wife like shit?
I don't know. Never know. They could just be psychopaths.
Yeah. So they have him, they reenact him in the interrogation room, and they're doing this thing that's like, we found her, Joe. Look here, Joe. We found her, Joe. And it's just like so, and then the reenactment actor is like looking away like,
oh, I don't want to see it.
No.
I don't want to see it.
Joe, and you start talking, Joe.
We found Roxanne, Joe. We found her, Joe. Look here, Joe. Found her buried in your front yard. Look at him, Joe. We found her buried in your yard.
Like, okay. I will say that reenactor, I swear on everything, I thought it was Dylan McDermott from Steel Magnolias.
Oh my God.
He sounded like him, and he looked like, I was like, oh, I found an actor. I found another actor. Because there are a lot of actors. McDermott,
there are a lot of
them. There are a lot of them that started off with Unsolved Mysteries that are now super famous. And I was like, I found one. I swear I thought it was him. I looked down every rabbit hole I could. I'm like, no, I didn't see it there.
If it had Dylan McDermott, we would know.
Yeah, it was not Dylan McDermott. It was the Wish. It was the Wish version. Dylan
McDermott. So now Joe's second story is that when Roxanne ran out of the car, he followed her. He was running behind her. She tripped, struck her head on a rock.
Oh God!
Passed out. He leaves. Takes the boys home, comes back for her later, sees that she's still not moving, and decides that he doesn't want to leave her there. And so he takes her back to his lot and buries her.
Literally says he doesn't want the animals to get her.
Yeah, he doesn't want the animals to
get her. The dogs were nipping at her fucking hands when they found her. You piece of fucking shit.
He's like, I didn't touch her. All I did was bury her.
Fuck off, you piece of fucking shit, Stain. I can't. All right. They did have Special Agent Wayne Atkins.
Yeah.
Did you see his eyes? His eyes were like unsettlingly like, why? Like his eyes were all like, whoa! Special Agent Wayne, what the fuck are you doing? Like his eyes were like, when he was talking, I don't know if that was just his personality, but his eyes were super bright. I even put little eyeballs, look.
Stop. Brown does all of her notes on like notebook paper. Like, and I type all of mine. And you're like pictures sometimes. Yeah, I have like pictures. Like a little LOL exclamation point, clap, clap, clap.
I have to. I think it's funny. I think he was just so expressive, and that's the way he expresses himself through his ginormous eyes. I was like, good Lord.
He said he's never admitted to being responsible for her death, just that she had suffered some type of head injury and he buried her body.
Yes, we all believe you.
I didn't get like, it said he was brought before a judge, and the judge recommended he be indicted or formally charged. Is that like how it works?
I think so. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. It's a different state.
Is that?
Immediate? I'll have to ask our attorney on retainer.
Yeah.
What?
Make sure when you ask him, though, you say exactly what he said.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like,
can't have cheap wine and thinking that.
I know. We're in his office. He lets us rent this shit out.
Yeah. So as Roxanne's case is coming to a close, because he'd been charged with her murder, another murder was about to reopen.
After Joe had been charged in regards to the homicide, the investigators who had talked with him and questioned him, they became pretty much buddies. Joe had learned to trust these people, and he wanted to help them.
Detective Joe Graves had received an anonymous phone call linking Joe to another disappearance, that of a girl named Kathy Clowers, a local 14-year-old who had vanished 2 years earlier.
And so Joe became buddies with the cops, like they just became friends, and he wanted to help them. An anonymous tip came in that Joe is responsible for the death of 14-year-old Kathy Clowers, who had vanished 2 years earlier.
That's the kids we teach. Literally, that's the eighth graders.
Yeah.
That's an eighth grader.
Yeah. And so in the reenactment, it shows them, and it's like the cop asks her, can you tell us where she is? And he's like, I can. He says something. Oh, I can take you to the place that I last saw her. And he's like, no, I want you to take me to where she is now. He's like, can you do that? And Joe's like, yeah, I can do that. So they go out and they are digging, and they're digging for a long time in this spot that Joe told them in the woods. Nothing's coming up. And then
at this part, I was like, Don't fucking tell me this piece of shit left them down a rabbit hole. Like, goose chase.
I hate that when it's like, tell me where this body is buried, and they go all the way fucking out there, and these because people usually get out of prison.
Yeah, because usually what it is like, they know they're fucked anyways. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in jail forever. And so they just want to get out, and they get to talk to other people.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go over here. Yeah. And then the cops fucking catch on. They're like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. You let us down here for nothing. That's what I thought immediately until
what I thought was going to happen. But eventually they get a red shirt, and they pull up a red shirt, and it was creepy how they described this, because they said Joe was like hunkered down over the hole, and when he sees the red shirt come up, he goes, see, I told you, didn't I? And they said he had this smile on his face that was like
this piece of fucking cold, tamed.
But he was proud. They're
the
piece of fucking
He's such a
tame. But he was proud that he could show them where the body was.
I'll never forget Joe Shepherd was hunkered down beside the hole we were digging. And he looked up with his cold smile on his face and said, see, I told you so. He was proud, I think, of the fact that he had produced a body for us. And showed no emotion at all.
Gross.
And so on April 17th, 1978, he was indicted for Kathy's murder. And Kathy's pants legs were also wrapped around her head, very similar to Roxanne. And I said, or exactly the same. It's not similar. It's the same. And then...
On July 17th, 1978, one of the jailers was summoned to a cell near Joe's.
What's the matter with you, boy?
The jailer was lured into the cell by a man feigning sickness.
What's your problem? I don't know. I'm sick.
After locking up the jailer, the two men went to Joe Shepherd's cell. They released him, and the three men fled the prison. While the other two escapees were recaptured the following week, Joe Shepherd remains at large.
April 17th.
Yeah, you go with that one.
1978. He was indicted for the murder of Kathy. And then July 17th. And I thought that was weird. It was like the 17th and the 17th.
Yeah.
1978. A jailer was lured into the cell. And I was like, oh, let me guess. He was like charmed. But it wasn't by him. It was by two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then during this time, like this music starts kicking up. And I'm like, oh, God, we're in the fucking 80s. Yeah. It was very like jazzercise music. I'm like, what are we doing? We're escaping or are we jazzercising? What the fuck is going on here? And I put, they locked the jailer in the jail, and they let the shit stain out too when they got out. Those two guys got out, put the jailer in the jail, went over there, let shit stain out, and then all three of them left.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were caught within a week, but then Joe remained out. And I said, of course this bitch was spotted here. Because he was,
they didn't find him in El Paso, Texas.
I was like, of course.
And I love El Paso. How dare he?
I have never been. Is it nice?
You need to go to El Paso. It's really cool. And, like, everyone speaks, like, it's basically a dual language city. Like, everyone speaks Spanish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You'd love it.
Update. London, Ontario, Canada. A 10-year search for Joe Shepherd has ended.
After the Unsolved Mystery Show on October the 5th, we received a phone call from a local resident saying that he believed the guy called Shepherd was in fact living in London under the name Joseph Tripp. We began an investigation, and when we had identified him to our satisfaction as Shepherd, he was arrested.
At the time of his arrest, Shepherd was living in a government housing project in London, Ontario, with his common law wife and their two children.
Update.
Oh yeah.
Update.
I put exclamation point. Update.
They find Joe in London, Ontario, Canada.
A.K.A. Twatstain. Sorry.
Yes. He was living with his common-law wife and their two children, extradited back to the U.S. and convicted in the death of Kathy Clowers and the felony murder and the death of Roxanne Woodson. And he died behind bars. Good fucking bye.
For reals, I was like furious when they were like, for 10 years, he was free. Yeah. I was furious because the thing is, how many other people might have he killed? I'm hoping that they did their legwork. Who knows if they did?
Yeah.
and were like, if anybody was killed and had their pants on their head, but that's 10 years. You cannot tell me that this guy did this, mm-hmm. then was like, you know what? Not doing that ever again.
Yeah.
There's no way.
When it's like he had already developed like a pattern.
Yes. Or
it is called an MO, where it's like that the pants around the head mm-hmm. thing and then buried them.
And the thing is, he might have been smart enough to be like, well, I just won't do that because that's how they... The thing is, that's probably what they told him.
Yeah, he could have just like... changed it.
I don't... Oh, God, it makes me so insanely mad because, I'm sorry, he probably killed girls
mm-hmm.
while he was out for 10 years and nobody will ever know
about it.
Especially
if he's moving, like, from El Paso where he was spotted and he makes his way all the way to fucking Canada. Like, yeah. You're telling me there were not casualties or, like, unsolved murders out there because of this fucking...
twat stain.
Prick. So I looked this one up, and Unsolved Mysteries was very kind to us in the fact that they didn't tell us a lot of things that had happened that night to Roxanne. One of the things was that one of the boys in the back seat were her boyfriend, or was her boyfriend. God,
that makes it even so sadder.
It's, yeah.
Because he, like, lured her in there.
Yeah. And so, like, they were hanging out that night together and had met Joe later on, and Joe basically just became more and more aggressive as the night went on. And it's like there's one point where
real quick, can I ask something?
Yeah.
Do you think the boyfriend, like, really liked her, or do you think he lured her in being like, Joe, be like, he knew, like, I can have sex with her and you can have sex with her? Like, I'm trying to figure out, since that was her boyfriend, mm-hmm. like, was it her boyfriend, or did he just say that to, like, get her to have sex and so that way he could entice, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what do you
think? I think the second one, because I think if this girl was your girlfriend, because there's a point where, like, Joe fucks up really bad, and it's like he takes out a pocket knife and intimidates her with the pocket knife, and I won't go into details of what, anyways, mm-hmm. I won't mm-hmm. on here, but she is so upset. She's out of the car. She's crying, and she's like, I don't want to go back in there, and her boyfriend goes out, talks to her, and it's like, hey, it's fine. It's going to be okay. We're just going to, like, go one more other place, it'll be fun, and then we'll go home. And if you see your girlfriend and this man has been touching her all night, and she's now at the point where she's
running her with a knife,
crying
too.
And screaming and telling you, I want to go home, and you don't, like, he what didn't was care your for her point? Then, yeah, you didn't care for her, mm-hmm. you wanted to have sex with her, or you wanted Joe to have sex with her, or like, you, this poor innocent child. I don't know.
Ah. Oh.
And so they don't tell us on Unsolved Mysteries, but the cause of Roxanne's death was asphyxiation, probably with the pants that were wrapped around her head. They said that there were no visible signs on her body, like, there wasn't, she didn't have any head injuries to go with Joe's story. No gunshots, no, like, strangulation wounds.
Knife.
But she did have, like, a blood vessel popped in her throat, and that's why they think it was the asphyxiation.
I'm gonna say it too.
Mm-hmm.
She was so decomposed that they couldn't tell if she was raped, but I guarantee you, I mean, I'm willing to go, like, bet on anything that mm-hmm. she was raped.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He had one, like, thing on his mind
mm-hmm.
that night, and so you're telling me that, like, he gets out of the car and he doesn't do that?
No, he didn't.
Her, mm-hmm. like, her underwear were missing. All she had mm-hmm. were her socks. And then the pants wrapped around her leg and her shirt on. So, most likely there was a sexual assault.
Mm. Ugh, that was rough. All right.
Yeah. Ugh. We're sorry.
I know.
This was a
rough one.
We all got through it together.
I listen to other podcasts and they handle it a lot better than us. But I don't know how, because I'm like, oh, that was rough. Podcasting is not as easy as it looks, because I'm like, some of these podcasts I listen to, they talk about stuff that we just did, but they handle it a lot better.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's because they're just better at that mm-hmm. or they haven't been through the same trauma. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess... I don't know.
Not exact same problem, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Like, it just brings up too much. Too much.
And also, we have kids, and so it's like, no.
Yeah.
Can we normalize letting girls, and we shouldn't have to, carry fucking, like, tasers or a knife?
Mm-hmm.
Let your little girl, I'm sorry, we're in an age, knife, stun gun, go on TikTok, there's all these girls on there, not girls, women, who sell, like, this... all this shit that's, like, super
cool.
Like that
one thing where, like, you put it on your fingers.
It's like kitty cat.
Yeah.
I know we shouldn't have to do that shit, but this is where we are. But that's
the world that we live in. All right. Well, thank you for listening to us talk about Roxanne and ghosts. I can't wait till we get to an alien one. UFOs.
Y'all gotta, like, send positive
those
vibes.
Those fucking crop circles. Oh, God. I'm ready. But next week, we're going to be talking about the disappearance of Gail Delano.
Delano?
We always want to do, like, a Delano. Delano. But I think they just pronounced it Delano. Yeah. I'm missing.
Send us on a light note. Don't get mad at me.
What?
I feel like I'm Patricia right now. And in honor of Patricia, The reenactor was so good looking because he looked like Dylan McDermott. I was like, this is Dylan McDermott.
Joe Shepherd?
That reenactor. No, the real Joe Shepherd looked like a piece of fucking shit. He looked like a fucking, I don't want to just say it because it looks, it's disgusting what I was going to say he looks like. But the reenactor, he has, like, a silhouette, and he looks just like Dylan McDermott. And I was like, did you not have a crush on him in Steel Magnolias?
No.
Magnolias.
I didn't. One, because I think I was, like, 4 when I saw Steel Magnolias for the first time. And Dylan McDermott just doesn't really do it for me.
I don't know. He has this black hair that I love. He's, like,
blue-eyed and...
He has black hair is why. I like the black hair and the blue eyes. That always just, like... Mm. All right, I'm sorry. He plays a psychopath, disgusting person, but I am like Patricia right now. I'm like, oh, he was very good looking. The reenactor.
As long as you say reenactor. You can say the reenactment actor.